Today's May 21st, 2025. Current Bitcoin price is $109,955.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
So, Rick, I've got to ask you a serious question here. Are you popping some Dom Perignon?
Maybe. Pinkies up.
Pinkies up. Bitcoin's back over 100 grand. Well over 100 grand at this point.
Actually, it's basically at all-time high levels.
Yeah. And actually, even since we started here, we are actually now sitting at $110,127. From when
we started. That's awesome.
Yeah. New all-time highs. We're in price discovery mode all the way. So everybody's going to be itching to know how our theoretical purchases doing.
Well, better than ever, obviously. First theoretical purchase back in October 2023. It was late October. I said, you know, Bitcoin started to do its run up there. And I think I the 27th, I said, if you put $3,000 down on Bitcoin, you're not going to regret it. And Bitcoin has never seen that price ever since. So that $3,000 would have netted you 0.0885 Bitcoin. And today that's worth 9,731.
That's a nice chunk of change. That's the highest we've ever had it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then the second theoretical purchase right at the halving, which was over a year ago. Actually, it's 13 months ago now, over that, April 19th, 2024. I said, hey, if you could, just put $1,000 at the halving. And long term, I mean, at least in this bull cycle, it's going to treat you pretty well. And so far it is. That $1,000 is now worth $1,720.
Wow. That's not shabby. I mean, it's been such a weird bull cycle. And it'll be something that we'll touch on maybe at the end. I want to get some more predictions from us again. But this has been such an unusual cycle because of, I think, all the chaos going on in the macroeconomic sphere. But it's been fun, I think.
Well, it just feels like it lasted longer just with the fact that we crossed the all-time high before the halving.
Yeah.
Granted, if you would have asked us back in March of 2024 when it did that, what would Bitcoin price be at in May 2025? We'd probably say like 150 or 200 or something.
Yeah.
Crazy,
yeah.
Right?
No, absolutely. I think I definitely thought, you know, we'd probably be looking at, you know, well into the hundreds at this point. And I mean, yeah, technically we are, right? But it's already halfway through this year. And I mean, if this carries through the way that we've seen in the past, then we would expect end of summer going into beginning of fall, you know, possibly November, like this will be our cycle top, like it'll be done.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really our window. I mean, June is the last month of the 6 month candles, and that one's going to be positive, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But after that, that's usually where it has that four or six month spans in a row that look great when you're looking at it a long time frame. And yep. Then it breaks down on the fifth one.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's bittersweet. Like, and we'll get into that. Like, I want to ask you at the end, kind of where you think, we're going to end up at, looking at the flows too. We pulled up the Bitcoin flows off the ETFs, and I mean, they're looking pretty good. BlackRock is just mopping up the floor with everybody. A lot of them are showing zeros, which is kind of interesting. But BlackRock is doubling down. It looks like they've just been buying like crazy. It's deltas in top, what we had talked about. And I don't know why we didn't kind of catch this. It looks like on May 5th, they put down a chunk of change. And on the 4th. But more recently, like the 14th, 232 million. The 15th, 409 million. The 16th, 129 million. The 19th, 305 million. The 20th, 287 million. We still don't have their numbers from today because they're always late reporting on this chart, but It's looking pretty good. And even Grayscale, like, they've got a few outflows, but they're not doing any buys.
Well, at their rate, I mean, who would expect them to, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, and that's the big thing, is that their percentage yield is just way too much. Like, they're asking too much, not the yield, I guess the maintenance fee that they're putting on top of everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that should have been our clue back when we first saw that their fee was going to be, when the ETFs were going live. We're like, why are they doing that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're looking to sell and then drain their holdings, investors on the way out.
Yeah. They were like, we're going to get all those fees from you. Yeah. I mean, gold's looking good. It's at 3,340. I don't think it's high, but I think it's pretty close right now.
Yeah. 3,400 roughly is the high.
Yeah.
Still, that's really respectable. Though I think, I mean, I wonder what Peter Schiff is saying.
The memes have been going crazy today about that. Like, Peter Schiff waking up this morning and it's like somebody that looks all cracked out. And yeah, it's been kind of an interesting ride with that front. And then, so real quick too, we want to start diving in some of the big headlines that were going on. And this is how you know Bitcoin is in a big bull run. One of the first things is that there was a big security breach with Coinbase. You heard about this?
Yes, I did.
So yeah, for those of you that don't know, it sounds like there was a security breach where, and for those of you in the United States, if you don't realize this, most of the customer service call centers are overseas. And it just so happens that somebody...
You don't say that.
It just so happens that somebody sold customer information. They didn't get any private keys or anything like that, but they sold customer information kind of on the black market. Nefarious, you know, kind of motives.
Dark web stuff.
Yeah, it says employees were bribed. And so basically they got a lot of information about customers. So basically, not so much they got access to your private keys or anything like that, but they got home addresses, you know, phone numbers. They got all kinds of personal information. So I think what's been happening is there's been a lot of social engineering attacks, phishing attacks. So
yep.
It's something just to watch out for. You know, I think we've said it before and we'll continue to say it. You know, if you've got your Bitcoin on an exchange, don't keep it there. Like, it's fine for when you're doing just transfers, like real quick or whatever the case may be, but that's not a long-term holding strategy. You've got to be careful, because it could happen. Like, if you've had one too many beers and you're paying attention to something and you see a link on an email saying that, you know, your account's getting drained or whatever the case may be. And you panic and click on the link. That's it. They got your stuff.
And that is the social engineering side of it, right? They tell you, hey, this is important. Log in now and do this. And then they have a website that looks just like it. You give them your information and poof.
Yep.
They take, you know, your money or whatever. They have access to your information.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And so you got to be careful. I do think it was kind of interesting that the CEO kind of flipped the script whenever they asked for a ransom for the information, like, to not go out. And I think they asked for 20 million in Bitcoin. And yep. So he basically told them, you know, if you're going to do that, then we're going to just turn, we're telling you no, and we're going to put the ransom on anybody who can bring information on bringing you people to justice. So there's a $20 million bounty on those folks' heads.
Yeah. And anybody that was compromised, they're going to be, information is compromised, they're going to do something for them as well.
Yeah. Yeah. They're supposed to make it on the back hole if they got impacted by this in any way. So, I mean, that's good on them. I mean, they're making a lot of money. What, they're on the S&P now?
Well, I mean, it is the biggest exchange in America, at least, maybe the world. I don't know. Maybe Binance is bigger. I don't know.
I think globally Binance is still bigger, but I'm sure Coinbase is knocking at their door with the way that things have been going. And then kind of going in some of that other news too. Well, and that's, so kind of what I was going to with that was that when that happened, I did not see Bitcoin's price dip.
Yeah. Which is something you would expect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Historically, like when everything from Mt. Gox all the way up to Celsius and where Sam Bankman-Fried, I forget his company.
I can't even think of it now. SPX or what was it? It was something like that. FTX, wasn't it?
FTX. Yes.
I don't even want to remember that guy. Like, get him out of our heads. But yeah, no, for sure. Like, when that kind of stuff happens, because especially, and maybe it's the masses are getting more educated, or maybe retail is just really not here the way that we keep on being told that they're not here. Whenever you hear that, most people just assume, well, that means Bitcoin was hacked.
Yep.
They don't understand that it's not the same thing. So I was kind of shocked when that news came out and I didn't see Bitcoin's price just plunge automatically. So that was kind of interesting news. One of the other parts of that came up, you know, speaking up, you know, people that may or may not get in trouble with law or whatever the case may be, MicroStrategy has a lawsuit against them. Allegations of misleading financial disclosures related to Bitcoin investments. The lawsuit filed by Pomerantz LLP accuses the company and its executives for failing to adequately inform investors about the potential financial impact of the new Bitcoin accounting rules. The lawsuit claims that Strategy downplayed the risks associated with its Bitcoin holdings, leading to a significant drop in the company's stock price. Despite the lawsuit, Strategy has continued to purchase Bitcoin, raising concerns about the company's transparency and the risks associated with its Bitcoin investments. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I guess it's just me knowing how they're operating. They're definitely the most risky bet that you can make associated with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Because they're playing a game where they just keep anteing up and they stack it all in the middle and they lay down their cards.
Yeah.
You know, and it could bite them in the butt. I mean, right now they're doing great, obviously, but
they're doing,
it could turn down.
They're doing well. I think the problem is, and this is what I'm starting to see, especially a lot on X, is that the investors are starting to get upset because instead of letting the stock rise with Bitcoin's price, Michael Saylor keeps on dumping more stock into the market to suppress the price, give them more cash, and they can buy more Bitcoin.
I don't think his goal is suppressing the price, but that's definitely what's happening when he does that, right?
Yeah.
Gets more cash, buys more Bitcoin.
Right, exactly. I mean, and it's funny because I think there's the MSTY, which is the leverage play for MicroStrategy. Like, you can buy those shares of that. And they say, like, if you put in $20,000, the residuals off of that because of what they're able to get you off the percentage yield, like, it's supposed to be like just income that keeps coming in and coming in and coming in, but that's only as long as Bitcoin is going up in price.
Yep. Well, that's the thing with MicroStrategy. I mean, this is true last cycle when they really started getting involved with this, is when Bitcoin would go up big, go up even higher. I mean, that's probably what they're mad about, is it's not, the numbers not going crazy with the price increases because they keep just loading up. But when it crashed, I mean, MicroStrategy saw a pretty large plunge themselves. I mean, probably worse.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I don't know if they even have, maybe they still do a business intelligence business, but I don't think they do. I think at this point, like, I don't know who all works for MicroStrategy. I think MicroStrategy is just, well, and Strategy, I can't call MicroStrategy anymore. Strategy, they just need to, they're just like, okay, well, we're just like a shell for Bitcoin within the stock market.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have any business intelligence anymore.
I don't think so. I mean, it doesn't look like they're looking at any other investment. They're just like, Bitcoin's it, and that's all we're doing.
Yep. Yeah. They're just a Bitcoin holding company now. And we'll kind of see how many other companies kind of continue to do that. We've seen a couple kind of start to rear their heads where they're doing that. And is Saylor's either going to come out looking like the biggest genius of all time, or he's going to lose it all? But my hope is that he comes out looking like the genius.
I mean, it's not that we want him to look like a genius because we love Michael Saylor. I mean, we appreciate him, but we just want our Bitcoin holdings to keep going up too.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. There's selfishness involved in that, right? Next big thing, and this came out, I think this just happened today. Texas passes the bill to create a Bitcoin reserve. So we talked about this, I don't know how long ago. But basically they've now signed the bill, or they've got the bill passed through. It's going to the governor's desk, and hopefully they don't pull in Arizona.
Well, They don't have Katie Hobbs. I'm not a fan of hers, but I'm not the biggest fan of Abbott myself, but there's levels to terribleness. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and this follows, what was it? New Hampshire, I think, was the last one we had talked about.
Yeah, they were the first one to get through.
Yeah, which kind of shocked me because I was hoping it was going to be like Texas first, but, you know, that's fine. I mean, like I said, it's like the first person has to start dancing. If it was New Hampshire, that's fine. If Texas starts dancing next, that's fine. So I've got to ask you this question, though, too. Do you think this is kind of a trend, or do you think it'll be an anomaly?
With Texas getting involved, that could start a trend. That's the one good thing about Texas, if they do this.
Yeah. If they do it and they do it right. I mean, because what, their GDP is almost the size of a country in Europe, right?
Yeah. No, they have a pretty large GDP. And, you know, it'd be kind of interesting to see Texas do this and then Florida do that. And then a whole bunch of red states might follow suit.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a crazy time, man. I mean, we still have, Cynthia Loomis has been making a lot of moves at the White House. There's been a lot of press conferences, those types of things. But I'm waiting to hear, because I think we should be hearing that this next month, what her bill is going to kind of look like for the digital assets.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, you know, Governor Greg Abbott's decision, you know, if he's going to be signing that or not. So I hope he makes the right choice and signs that bill into law.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If more states get involved, I mean, that's some decent rocket fuel. But if it's a banger of a bill that looks like it could pass in from Cynthia Loomis, mm-hmm. that'll be pure jet fuel. I don't know. That'll be, I don't even know how to describe that.
If the United States government comes out and says, we're getting 1 million Bitcoin, like that is, we are determined to make sure we get 1 million Bitcoin, I think the all bets are off at that point. Cycles may be over at that point.
Yeah. At least like we know him.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, everybody is talking about how, you know, everything could just change in just an instant if something like that takes place, if there's actually a bill sent into law. And it, you know, it makes you wonder, what is that going to look like? The impact of government influence on digital assets in the future, like what that's going to be like. You know, the United States is still pushing for a stable coin, or at least regulations on stablecoin. They're not going to issue their own from what it looks like, but they're going to put regulations on stablecoins of the ones that already exist. So I don't know, man. It's crazy times. That's all I can say. You know what else?
Still not a fan.
Go ahead.
I'm still not a fan of the stablecoins. I think that's maybe a potentially like a backdoor to CBDCs.
Oh, it totally is. Absolutely is. And we talked about that like with XRP, right? Like if that ended up becoming the stablecoin or the official stablecoin, it's still it's a CBDC, but it's under a different name. Now, if there's a swamp of them, like there's a bunch of stablecoins that meet the regulation needs and they're all allowed to function, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. It's an interesting thought.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a different name of the same beast. I don't know. It's going to be, I don't think we can transact exclusively in Bitcoin. We're going to have some other ways to do it. I think Lightning is still a good opportunity. In stable coins, I like the idea of having something that's digital, that's representative of a dollar, but just if it's under government control, that's where I'm just like, ooh. And if it's under a central bank's control or a centralized organization control in general, let's just get that out there. That's where it scares me.
Well, that's basically every other coin out there.
Yeah. Yeah. The Immaculate Conception of Bitcoin is something that is truly unique, and we'll never see anything like that again. So what are your thoughts? Like, where do you think we're going from here?
Honestly, I mean, it kind of depends on what happens with the states. And like I said, Cynthia Loomis, if they do really make something happen, as far as passing legislation and the Trump would sign it, that would be
just insane. I mean, I can't even fathom what happens.
But outside of that, I really do think we are heading to somewhere around 150.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Because we talked about it back in March. I think Bitcoin was kind of starting to peter out a little bit, or maybe it was February. But we said, you know, we're almost expecting a crash. And whatever level it finds at the bottom, when it's said and done, it could be double that in no time. Yeah. So I really do think, you know, we hit about 74, 75. 150 is definitely within reach.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think it's obviously this month we're probably going to close green. Next month will probably be another really positive month. Yeah, it's like right now. Okay. So we're at $110,712. I mean, we're close to the 11,000 mark again, you know, when it starts to climb like that, and we could wake up to $120,000 Bitcoin tomorrow. Probably not, but it's a possibility.
Crazier things have happened with Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about the long and short of it all. The other thing that we did not talk about that we meant to talk about from the last episode is inflation came in at 2.3.
Well, it looks like it's starting to tick back up just a little bit, or no?
No, that's actually, it's the lowest it's been in I don't know how long. Lowest.
Okay, probably since 2021 or something.
Yeah.
Beginning of 2021, because it went nuts that year.
And it's so funny because normally like CPI episodes are like one that we do kind of regularly. But it was like with the price, the way that it is, it's like, man, price is what I care about right now.
Yeah.
Trying to find that sweet spot. And, you know, unfortunately, the sad thing is for those of you out there that are just struggling, trying to figure out, you know, how do you get ahead in this world? You've got to have assets. You got to have hard assets. So whether that's Bitcoin, gold, you've got to buy those things that are going to, you know, increase in value to outpace the inflation. And you don't have to buy a whole coin. You can buy fractions.
That's the beauty of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Buying an ounce of gold, I mean, that's costing you $3,300 right now.
Right.
Granted, you know, if you only had $300, you can definitely exchange that for some Satoshis.
Yeah. And there's been a big controversy about that lately too. And I don't want to dive too much into that, but it sounds like Jack Dorsey's trying to get BIP 117, I think, changed into Bitcoin to where they're no longer called sats. They want to basically call the individual Satoshis Bitcoin. Have you heard about that?
No.
I'm like, why?
I don't dislike Jack Dorsey, but I'm not exactly his biggest fan. No. Though I do know he's a true Bitcoin believer. And and that's what he's been working on basically, right? Some type of Bitcoin company since he left Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. He did. After he left Twitter, he went and did Blue Sky. And then I think he left that. And then he's got his, I can't even remember what his thing is, but he's really, he feels that if Bitcoin just becomes a store of value, that they've lost the fight and he wants it to become just money. But in my opinion, Bitcoin's got to become a lot more valuable before that happens. The fluctuations have to stop.
Yeah. Well, when it gains enough mass, I think there'll be a lot more resistance to changes.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. When it gets up to
have that inertia.
It just topped Amazon on the top companies lists. Or, you know, the most assets, whatever, the value. Like my brain is shut.
We're just too excited. We're like little schoolgirls.
Well, I keep on watching the price, man. We just got up to 110,800 and something. Anyways,
man, you need to turn that off.
I know. I know. It's totally throwing me off looking at this thing. I'm like, yeah, man, we are so close to 111,000. Anyways.
I know, boys, we are back. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back.
You still have a chance to buy if you do decide to go down that road and you want to do self-custody and really kind of become your own person, a few things you can always do. You can do self-custody, you can run a node, and you can even get like a BitAx and just help help with the distributed network of Bitcoin and the mining itself. So
absolutely.
Become your own sovereign individual. Yeah, I think that's all I've got. I'm too excited about this price here.
I can't blame you.
Thank you all for listening.
Bye.